Now, when it comes to the end of a mission, I always find it very difficult to find God's last message to close a mission with. Because I find, like every other night, I just don't preach a series. I have to come with God's message every night. And I have been praying much over for this final night as to what the Lord would have me to say. And if you have a copy of God's Word with you tonight or a Bible with you, I want you to turn with me to the 10th chapter of the book of Exodus, please. The book of Exodus, chapter number 10. And just before I do the scripture reading with you tonight, we're just going to read two verses. I want a wee word with you unsaved people tonight, and I want to say this with all the love of my heart. It's very dangerous for you to bargain with God. It's dangerous tonight to bargain with God. To say to God, I'll come on these terms. I get saved on this term, or I get saved on the other terms. An unsaved friend tonight, it's a dangerous thing to bargain with God. It's better to simply believe in God tonight. To believe the gospel and obey the gospel tonight. Because God, in all His love and in all His mercy, friend, has given everything in order for you to be saved. And even right now, I want to take you to a place called Calvary. To an old rugged blood-stained cross. And there see tonight the love of God in all His fullness. And there tonight, God gave His Son to suffer and to bleed and to die for you. Perhaps the greatest verse in the Bible is John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. That means you tonight. For God so loved you. And it doesn't matter who you are tonight. Doesn't matter whether you're Protestant or Catholic. For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, friend, don't you bargain with God tonight. You believe God. Believe God when He says for you to repent of your sin. Believe God when He says to come to His Son, the Lord Jesus. Believe God tonight when He says for you to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Because you see, when death comes, when death comes, there's only one thing that counts. And that's the blood of the Lord Jesus. One thing that counts. Church and creeds and catechisms and all the sacraments that count for nothing. Only the blood of Jesus Christ counts. And when it comes to death and dying, you know, friend, I preached the other night, you remember, a wee message called, If You Have a Loved One in Heaven. And you know, that brings a lot of comfort to our hearts when we know that our loved ones were saved. It brings a great comfort to the heart and soul when you know that they're safe in the arms of Jesus. And that's a very comforting thought tonight. And thank God there is a land that is fairer than they. Thank God we don't die like a dog. Thank God there's a heaven to gain. Thank God there's a home for us being prepared, for those of us that are saved tonight. And it is a comforting thought tonight, knowing that our loved ones are in heaven because they were saved. But here's where we're coming till tonight. It's a harrowing thing. It's a harrowing thought to stand at the edge of a coffin, and the person has no testimony, and the person never repented, and the person was never saved. I conducted a mission 7 years ago in a little village in County Tyrone. And it was a United Churches mission. The Church of Ireland were involved, the Presbyterians were involved, and the congregations were involved, the Congregationalists. And I was invited to take this mission. And the Presbyterian minister told me a story that he, a tragedy that happened in his church, about a man who lost his wife and son in a car accident. The wee boy was badly disabled. He never had the age of understanding. He never had any understanding. And the service was in the home. And he conducted the service, this minister. And when the service was over in the home, he got the husband to come up to the room where his wife and his boy was lying before the undertakers came in. He said, "I'll take it to my grave," the minister. He says, "George, to see a husband leaning over a wife's coffin and tears dripping on to the white shroud, and him saying, I'll never see you again. I'll never see you again." And then to go to the wee boy's coffin, and he leaned over it, and again he cried, and he says, "But at least I'm going to see you again." And he went over to the wife's coffin again, and he kissed her ice cold brow and says, "Goodbye, love. Goodbye." And that lady had amples of opportunities to get saved. Never did yet see him. I want you to come with me tonight to a man this evening who had amples of opportunity. And God spoke to him many times. And God's servant goes into him now. God's servant goes into him. Moses is the servant of God. Pharaoh's the man. And here in Exodus chapter 10, and in verse 28, we read these words. "And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me. Take heed to thyself. See my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die." And Moses said, "Thou hast spoken well." Now here's my text. "I will see thy face again no more." And that's the text the Lord has laid upon my heart for this closing mission. "I will see thy face again no more." Wonder tonight, will somebody stand over your coffin and say, "I will see thy face again no more"? Maybe, dear, you have a saved husband and you're not saved tonight. What happens if you die the way you are? You're going to leave your husband crying over your coffin and saying, "I will see thy face again no more." Likewise, a husband with a wife. What about a child? Child, listen, young people, listen tonight. You can die young. Your parents are saved, but you're not saved. Do you want your parents to lean over your coffin and say, "Thy face will I see again no more"? I'll tell you four things about Pharaoh tonight. He was a man with a precious privilege. 9 times already. 9 times. God had spoken to Pharaoh. 9 times God revealed his hand to Pharaoh. 9 times God revealed his power to Pharaoh. You know what that teaches me tonight? We hear boys going about saying, you know, God's going to do a new thing. God's going to do a mighty thing. Listen, friends. Miracles convinces nobody. Oh, we need to see miracles. Well, I'll tell you this. When the Lord Jesus miraculously healed the man's hand in the temple, sure, they threw him out of the temple. Mind you, the miracle didn't convince them there. You remember the man in Mark chapter 5, the madman of Gadara, a man who was demon-possessed that could neither tame him or tie him. And the Lord Jesus came and he touched him and he healed him and he left him sitting clothed and in his right mind. Man, you would have thought the whole town of Gadara would come out and say, "Come and do a mission for us. Come here and do wonders in our town." What did they do? They asked him to leave. Listen, miracles don't convince anybody. And God had showed Pharaoh 9 times up until this moment. And God done terrible things. You know, friend, tonight, listen, sometimes us men, we're so hard. And we can get so ignorant. And we can get so strengthened up in our own power. Sometimes God has to do terrible things to get us to think. I remember a Faith Mission pilgrim giving their testimony. And he was from the south of Ireland. And he had a friend who was a Christian. And his friend asked, he sent over to the college over in Edinburgh that they would send over 2 pilgrims and have a mission in this man's field. And the 2 Faith Mission pilgrims came. And they asked the man, would he give them the field to put up a tent? "You can put up your tent, but there's one deal. And here's the deal, that you don't ask me to go to the mission." The pilgrim says, "That's all right. If you don't want to come to the mission, we're not going to make you come." 6 long weeks, that gospel mission was preaching that man's field. And that man, that one night, put his foot through the tent door. The tent was rolled up. The tent was away. Mission was over. And one day, he was doing a wee bit of winter ploughing. And he came into the yard on the tractor and he went to throw his leg over the steering wheel. And whatever happened, something happened to his back. And he was in excruciating pain. And then all of a sudden, he went numb from the waist down. And he was there for 3 hours sitting on that tractor, not being able to move. Until somebody came into the farmyard and 2 other men got him off the tractor, brought him into the bedroom and put him in the bed and had to get the doctor. The doctor examined him. And the doctor says, "I don't know what you have done. But I don't think you're ever going to walk again." "What?" he says. And he put the doctor out of the house. You know what that man did? That man looked up to the ceiling and he shook his fists to God and says, why did you do this to me, God? Why did you allow this for me to happen to me?" And God spoke to his heart. And God spoke to his mind. And God said, What have I done to you? What did you do to me? 6 long weeks I had my gospel been preached in your field. And 6 long weeks my servants labored. And you never put your foot in it. That man lying in his bed, friends, paralyzed from the waist down, suddenly knew God was taking a dealing with him. Listen, sometimes God has to do terrible things to deal with us, to get us to wise up, to get us to think. You see, the next day, feelings began to come into his legs. You know the first thing that man did? That man got out of his bed and got onto his knees and thanked the Lord and asked the Lord to forgive him. And he got gloriously saved, and that man went on to be a faith mission pilgrim. Now listen. Don't ever play hard man with God, because Job said, who hath hardened himself against the Almighty and hath prospered? And Pharaoh tonight was a man with a precious privilege. Tell me, many times has God been speaking to you? And many times has God been knocking on your heart's door? And many times has God tried to get your attention? Pharaoh tonight, a man with a precious privilege. Tell you something else about Pharaoh. He was a man with a belittling behavior. What do you mean he was a man with a belittling behavior? I'll tell you this. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, he said to Moses, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Who is he? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Listen. It's a very dangerous thing to mock God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. For God is not mocked. Whatsoever he soweth, that shall he reap, friends. And Pharaoh said with a broad shouldered, he said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Who is he? I'm telling you, friend, there was a man called Peter Campbell, and he was only 24. On the evening before the Battle of the Somme, he and eight other men were in a blooded, dirty, filthy, muddy trench. And Peter Campbell, 24 years of age, was over eight men, eight commandos that were going to go over the trench the next morning and to take out a German post that needed to be defeated in order to make the advances. And the padre, he thought he would come round and speak to the men and to pray with them. And the padre came to the men and said, listen, men, I'm here to pray with you before you go out in the morning. Peter Campbell says, you can go in, take your prayers and put them where the sun don't shine. That's what he said. You know what the padre said? He says, Campbell, do you not fear death? Campbell says, death doesn't fear me. That's why I've been so successful over the years. So many men were killed because fear struck them. He says, death doesn't scare me. Death's like putting a blanket over you and that's it, night. Let me pray with you, Campbell. Come on, let me pray with you. I told you, I don't want you and I don't want your prayer. The padre said to Campbell, Campbell, if you don't fear death, tell me, do you fear God? You know what Campbell said? He said something I believe no other person would ever dare to say. He says, fear God. He says, I don't fear God. God should fear me. Now listen, padre. My men and me is going out over this in the morning. Will you take yourself off? You and your Bible and your prayers. The next morning came, friends, and the command went. The whistle blew. Campbell and his men had over the top. He never made it 3 foot till he was blew into smithereens. The man who said he didn't need God. The man who said for the padre to take his Bible and prayers and go there. The man who said that God should fear him. Now he was in the presence of God. Now he is lost in a lost sinner's hell. Listen, friend, tonight. Don't you belittle God. Don't you belittle God. Don't you belittle him tonight who sent his son to die for you. Don't you belittle him tonight who shed his blood for you. Don't you belittle God tonight, and don't you mock him tonight. Listen, God is to be feared, not to be fooled with. Will you remember that tonight? God is to be feared, not to be fooled with. Pharaoh the man tonight, with a precious privilege of belittled behavior. Pharaoh's a man with a hardened heart. Every time God spoke to Pharaoh, every time God revealed himself to Pharaoh, every time God brought his power before Pharaoh, did Pharaoh get saved? No, he didn't. You know what he did? He did what a lot of Ulster men do. They hardened their heart. He hardened his heart. Many times have God spoken to you, and many times has God been dealing with you, and every time, instead of turning, you've hardened your heart. What did we say the other night? Four times. What does the Bible say four times? Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because every time you hear the gospel, your heart gets used to it. And the more you hear it, and the more you disobey the gospel, the more it takes less effect. Every time God appeared to Pharaoh, friend, he hardened his heart. And God is saying to some soul in this meeting tonight, listen, every time you've heard my gospel, you've hardened your heart. So much so, it takes no longer any more effect on you. Doesn't affect you anymore. When you hear the gospel for the first time, man, I'll tell you, you can hardly get off the pew to go home. No, it doesn't take effect. That's the danger of hardening your heart tonight. And every time God speaks, the harder the heart becomes. Yes. Sad tonight. If you're a person here, and you're like this man, I want to finish with him tonight. He was a man with an eternal end. Listen, you tonight are a person that has an eternal end. See, once death comes, it's not the end of you. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die after this. You see, after the coffin, after the hearse, after the grave, after the headstones, the judgment. I preached at a funeral in Lurgan Baptist Church about a month and a half ago, and I told the congregation gathered there, you know what's wrong with a whole lot of us? We've got used to funerals. And I got everybody to look up to the front of the coffin. And I said, they see all this talk about being a Protestant. It doesn't count for that when it comes to this. And they see all this talk about being a Catholic. It doesn't count one iota with God when it comes to this. Not one thing. And Moses comes to this man and says, I will see thy face again no more. The servant of God knew that Pharaoh had overstepped the mark. You remember, you can overstep the mark tonight. There is a time, we know not when, a place we know not where, that marks the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path. It's the hidden boundary that lies between God's mercy and God's wrath. Listen to me. Has God been speaking? Has the cross been real? You felt tonight the convicting power of God, the Holy Spirit, concerning the sin that's in your heart. Listen. You're not going to be here forever. Your life will end. And you tonight have an eternal end. I think of the Bible tonight. When Nabal died a drunkard's death, Abigail could say, "Thy face will I see again no more." Lot could say to his wife, "Thy face will I see again no more." I think of David when he thought of Absalom. "Thy face will I see again no more." It's a sad call tonight. If that's what your loved one is left to say, because you're not saved, "Thy face will I see again no more." You know, nobody's here forever, friends. Nobody's here forever. Nobody knows when death will come for any of us. Nobody. In my hometown, there was a family called the Bradford family. Mrs. Bradford, she died one night. And her husband, Raymond taught me and his son, Don, how to play the bagpipes. Remember I was telling you the other night? You didn't think I could play them. And Raymond brought the remains along with the family back to the church that night. And Raymond himself went to bed. And in bed he felt unwell. And he died himself in his son's arms. And I'll never forget the day of the funeral, because I never witnessed a double funeral before. Two coffins been carried down the graveyard. And two coffins been placed into the grave. He was a man, Raymond was a man who taught me many things as far as piping's concerned. And I'll tell you this. As I looked into the grave at the two coffins, I thought to myself, how more final could you get? Someone of us in here is the next to go out of his congregation. Tell me this, are you ready to go? For many it'll come. And you see, when death comes, there's only one thing that counts, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, as I bring this mission to a close tonight, I plead with your heart and I plead with your soul. Behold the Lamb of God tonight, which taketh away the sin of the world. Come to Christ tonight. The Bible says, "For as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God." Don't leave it tonight. Don't leave it. It'll be a sad call tonight if I will see your face again no more. I'm to be lost in a lost sinner's hell. How tragic. Come to the Savior tonight. Make no delay. Hear in his word. He is showing us the way. Don't linger any longer. come tonight. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't let that saved loved one stand at your coffin, perhaps, and say, I will see thy face again no more. Let them stand and say, I'll see you in the morning.